Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, and I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And we're here to bring you another week of sports. We have NBA draft coming your way. We have some Copa America to talk about, a little bit about everything. So it should be a pretty interesting night and should be pretty fun. How's your week been so far?
Oh, pretty good. Finally got completely moved over and moved in, got unpacked, and finally, like, starting to settle in. So, pretty good for me. How about you?
Yeah, that's good to hear. I actually will be down on the 4th, but we can talk about that after the show here. So,
awesome.
My week was pretty good. Just a lot of NBA stuff that I really want to talk about, some trades and some other things. So, should be pretty jam-packed show here.
All right, can't wait. Let's get into it.
All right, let's go over our hot picks from last week, a week which you did very well once again. We will start here with the College World Series. We picked Texas Tech versus Florida. It was an elimination game. I went Florida. You went Tech. Tech ended up winning that game 3-2. I didn't really get to catch much of the game. Did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't get to see much of it. But freshman Davis Martin pitched a pretty good game. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs. Florida actually was getting some tough luck in the 3 double plays. Kind of sucks. Florida's the number one team in the country. A lot of expectations obviously going in, not just the number one team, but a program like Florida. And they just got bounced after 2 games. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it really was. They came in as the top team in the tournament, and they went out or even really having a chance to get to the finals, and Tech really took advantage. And really goes to show how good the Big 12 was all year, because they had 3 teams make it pretty far here, and Florida was the only SEC team, a conference that was really good all year, but only end up having Florida, and they went out rather quickly. So not something you want to see from SEC baseball.
But I mean, it is Omaha. Crazy things do happen, especially when you've got you've got these 8 teams on these crazy successful seasons.
Yeah, and speaking of crazy things happening in the College World Series, our next game here, we will talk about Coastal Carolina. They took on TCU. It was Tuesday night. If Coastal Carolina won, they would advance. If TCU won, they'd have to beat them one more time the next night. We picked that first game. I went Coastal Carolina. You went TCU. TCU actually ended up winning that to force an elimination game. They went on to win that one 6-1. They didn't end up winning the elimination game, but TCU fought hard the whole time. They were actually down 7-1 in that elimination game, came back to make it 7-5, and had a guy in scoring position or on base, and just couldn't get it done. But hard fought from TCU, and but Coastal Carolina is still playing as we speak.
Yeah, always impressive. Gotta love the underdog story. even in college baseball. Coastal Carolina taking down, I mean, once again, a much more successful baseball program in TCU.
Yeah, definitely. And first time Coastal Carolina's ever been, and to make it all the way, that just goes to show that Cinderella can strike at any time, I guess.
Yeah, and they're also going to have to pull some more magic now that they found their way into the championship game, or championship series, sorry, against Arizona, and they actually lost tonight. Were shut out 3-0. Going to have to win tomorrow and Wednesday if they want to be national champions.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen them with their backs against the wall. I don't think in any of their series. They have had a couple elimination games, but I think in those ones that they did, I believe they won the first game in all of them. So we'll have to see what kind of fight they have here with their backs against the wall and having to win these next two.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun. Definitely going to have to get the bats going, though.
Yeah, a strong performance from Arizona pitching, which has been the story of their run right now, which is also highly unlikely. I saw a odds on ESPN that Coastal Carolina had the ninth best odds to win the whole thing, and Arizona was just right in front of them at eight. So a championship game that wasn't really thought of to happen is going on right now, and one of those teams is going to finish off a great run here in Omaha.
Yep, always fun. I love the College World Series.
Yeah, and you've been a couple times, so I can only imagine what that atmosphere is like there.
Yeah, it's probably definitely changed now that they got that new stadium, but no, still definitely a good time. Omaha's a fun town. All right, well, I guess we got to go over these Copa America games that we picked too, right?
Yes, we did.
All right, well, first up was Argentina against the United States, which did not go well for the United States. 3 minutes in, it was 1-0, and it didn't get any better from there. Lionel Messi scored, and his goal actually gave him the most career goals for the Argentinian national team. So a little bit of history there, and they ended up scoring two more goals to make it 4-0. And the United States just kind of didn't play well at all.
Yeah, they had to have a strong performance from the defense if they wanted any sort of chance. And I think as soon as Argentina came out and scored in the third minute, I think the USA's confidence, whatever confidence they had going in, was completely shot at that point. And then Messi hit that unbelievable free kick, curve it right around the goal. I believe it was Tim Howard in goal that game to bend it right around him and to get it in. It was one of the best free kicks I've seen. And, Argentina just went to show what kind of class they have in the soccer world and how much further the USA has to go. I think the USA is on their way, but they're not there to be able to compete with the likes of Argentina and some of these other great countries.
Yeah, no, it's the United States just is, it's just definitely behind. Just, you know, it's a crazy thing to say, but I mean, it's just not, soccer's just not a big priority, it would seem.
Yeah, but I think we could see maybe that shift over the next couple of decades here, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Is that a hot take? We're 20 years later, we're doing hot takes, and
yeah,
we're going to be talking about a United States World Cup victory.
We could only hope, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself there. Maybe 2034, but no.
All right, you're gonna have to write that down.
No, I just I just think the USA, with all the things that are going on with football and the concussions, and also the coverage that soccer is getting over here, more and more coverage and more games being on ESPN and Fox Sports 1, and I think that's only going to help kids growing up being able to watch this and want to play. And I also think it's going to help that some parents aren't allowing their kids to play football, and who knows, that kid could have been the next Odell Beckham, and they're going to play soccer instead, and maybe that gives them a chance. But yeah, that's pretty much my take on that.
Yeah, no, I I definitely, as a kid, didn't really have much interest in soccer, getting older and watching it more, seeing the best in the world do it, you definitely get a better appreciation for it, and that these guys are world class athletes, in every sense of the phrase.
Yeah, I mean, just I agree, and I'm with you on. I was never into soccer growing up. I actually hated it. Loved sports, but soccer was one thing I couldn't stand. I don't know why. But like you said, as I've gotten older, I've really come to enjoy it. And just the way they're able to do what they do. I mean, it's the only sport out there that's nonstop. It's always running. It's always running. They're always going. And you don't get unlimited substitutions. It's just – it's a really fun game, and when countries are going at it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's another good point. Is that the fact that it's such a global sport, and you can have these things like the World Cup where these countries are coming together, and not only for something like the Olympics, but they can come together and everybody can bond over this one thing, and you can get a taste of all these other cultures. And I you know, joke about Chile and you know, being super, super awesome and high on them, but like I don't know, it's kind of cool to be able to see other people and how they are fans and how they react to a team that they love.
Yeah, it really is. It's remarkable. I mean, I know it's one of our picks later here, but take Iceland for instance, country. A very small country is doing what they're doing. It's very surprising, and it's very uplifting for that country, and just shows that something that a whole country can really get behind, and just do it, even if your population is 300,000 people in a whole country, you always have that chance, and it can bring something. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I saw something that said, I don't remember the exact number, and I might even be completely wrong, but I think it said that the population of England was 30 times that of Iceland.
Yeah.
It's awesome thing, and sports are a great thing for people. You can have that underdog story and see that, all these happy people and the defeated English people, especially after their real world craziness they got going on.
Yeah, definitely. I guess we had another Copa America game here. We had Colombia,
with the best team.
Colombia and Chile. We both picked Chile, and they ended up going on to beat Colombia in penalty kicks, and that would end up being the story of their final two matches here.
Oh, they beat Argentina in penalty kicks.
Was it?
In the final. The Colombia, they scored. Yeah, they scored two goals early against Colombia and just kind of held on. Colombia actually ended up with more shots than them. It was definitely a, hey, we got this lead, let's just go ahead and protect it kind of deal, and it worked out. They usually, a lot of times you see a goal scored late in that game just to kind of put a little extra pressure on, but they were able to keep that from happening and come away with that victory to take on Argentina. And Yeah, as far as that Argentina game, you could just tell they were just trying to find a way to get to penalty kicks. Argentina, of course, controlled the game for the most part. Was probably the better team, but yeah, just they couldn't come through on those penalty kicks. Messi actually missed his first one, went high over the crossbar, and he, of course, caught a lot of flack and crying Jordan memes for it.
Yeah, and he also announced his retirement from the international team.
Yeah, which I guess, yeah, what do you think about that, considering, I mean, he is 29, which obviously 29's a different age in things like soccer and basketball. But, I mean, what do you think? You'd think he would still want to think maybe he'd have one more World Cup left in him in 2018.
Yeah, I think actually that 2018 World Cup would be his last international tournament. If he does decide to end up coming back, I think maybe give him a couple months, he thinks it over. I think he will end up coming back. But I think that was just an emotional thing. You caught him right after the game. That guy has a lot of pressure on him to win for Argentina. I can't think of the guy who won it for Argentina in the 80s. He gets compared to him a lot, and that's just got to be a lot of pressure on him. And I think it was just an emotional reaction after the match. Have to see if he sticks through with it. Sometimes athletes do. Sometimes they think that they decisions they make in times like that are telling of what they really want to do, and they'll stick through with it. So we'll have to see what he does. But I have a feeling we'll be seeing him in the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah, you got to figure maybe they'd work out a deal to where he doesn't necessarily have to play, I don't know, in really anything else until the qualifiers or something like that. I don't know. They could probably work something out to where he can, yeah, get into that last one. But now I was kind of thinking about it, and yeah, when you're talking about comparisons and pressure to win, I mean, yeah, I think you can compare it a little bit to LeBron James. I mean, he's right now – Messi is the best in the world. That's the reputation. That's what we've seen it. I mean, he, like in that United States game, he does insane things on the pitch. but yeah, no, I mean, yeah, sooner or later he's probably going to start breaking down. But you'd really like to see him, yeah, go out on top, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that, I mean, the two guys recognized as the best two players in soccer in the world are Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, and neither guy can really get that victory. I know Ronaldo is still playing right now in the Euros. His team's about to take on Poland. Yeah, Poland, and we'll just have to see if he gets it done. But, yeah, both of them have kind of struggled with their international play. And it's kind of interesting being the best soccer players in the world and on really good teams for their country. But haven't quite got it done.
Well,
but,
I mean, I don't know. You could make the argument for national play. Like you said, there's a lot more pressure. You're trying to win for your country. It can't be like, you know, professional leagues or whatever, where teams are signing players to contracts and they can kind of make a team in some sort of image. These are the guys that we've got because they're from, because they're the guys we can use because they're from the right country. So it's, you know, maybe there's not always the right supporting cast there and it just makes things difficult, or maybe the coach isn't utilizing everyone to their best abilities. There's a lot of things can go wrong there, especially with all that external pressure.
Yeah, and they're also playing all of other countries' best players on the team.
Right,
so,
and yeah, it's the thing. Yeah, it's, and you also get down to it, it's the best in the world going against each other in a situation that isn't completely comfortable, I guess, or normal.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have anything else on any of the Copa America or the Euros or just soccer in general?
Chile. I think I'm good.
All right, yeah, Copa America champions. So, but yeah, so that brings us to our last pick that we had last week. We had undefeated teams: Minnesota Lynx, Los Angeles Sparks. You went with the Sparks.
Oh wow, I totally forgot about that.
And the Lynx ended up winning on a last-second 3-point shot. The Sparks had a chance to tie it, but didn't hit it. And Lynx stayed undefeated. And
yeah, and that happened at about, what, 4:47 p.m.?
The game was at 2:30, yes.
Yeah, so yeah. So roughly two hours later, that was the end of this game, just getting over. So.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, I needed that game, though. That put me at 2-3 last week, while gave you your only loss. You went 4-1, so you now have a 5-5 game advantage on me. You're 20-10, and I'm 15-15, so.
Man.
Gonna have to do better, like always.
All right.
All right, well, do you want to get a little NBA talk in here now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
All right. Well, of course, we had the draft last Thursday. But before that even started, we had a couple big trades that could really alter the Eastern Conference, perhaps. Of course, that first one came through. It was Derrick Rose being sent to the Knicks for Robin Lopez, Jaren Grant, and Jose Calderon. I think that this was a very it was a move that I know Phil Jackson got a lot of criticism for it because it's Derrick Rose, and of course Derrick Rose isn't the Derrick Rose that we knew 4 years ago. But I think if Derrick Rose is able to stay healthy, I think that he's really going to help the Knicks out, possibly get them in the playoffs. I don't think it puts them in as a championship team, but if they're able to sign a good big like an Al Horford, I think that's a long shot, but an Al Horford or Hassan Whiteside or Dwight Howard, I think that helps them even more. They could possibly be a top five team in the Eastern Conference, but that's a conference that continues to get better, and it's really going to be very relying on the health of this team. Melo, of course, is getting older, starting to have some nagging injuries. We know, of course, with Derrick Rose, And so I do like the trade. I think it was the only thing that Phil Jackson could do. They didn't have a draft pick, and he had to do something. So he went out and made the best move that he thought he could make, and I think it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of upside to it. It's really is kind of a shame to see things kind of end for Derrick Rose in Chicago. Of course, you get to love the hometown story and, you know, the things that kind of go with that. But yeah, no, he definitely needs a fresh start. And, yeah, I mean, if that's New York, then I guess that's, you know, what it has to be. They've got, you know, some young talent there. You've got Melo. I actually think that there's some bigger plans to bring in a bigger name down the road. That makes a lot of sense, but yeah, no, it's definitely worth taking a shot. I mean, if it pans out, you've got a top 5 point guard, maybe even a top 10 player in the league if he finds that form again.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he's past that point. I definitely think he could be a top 10 point guard still, top 25-ish player. But I don't think we'll ever see that MVP D Rose anymore. But we could see All-Star D Rose, and that's still pretty good and still gives you a really good point guard to use. It'll be interesting to see how he works in the triangle if the Knicks are still going to continue to do that. I think that a point guard like Derrick Rose is actually really good in the triangle because he can penetrate. And so we'll have to see how that works out. But I can't blame Phil Jackson for trying and doing something. He seems to be all in for New York right now. And he's making moves. He knows he only has maybe a year or two left with Melo as his top player. But they have Kristaps to possibly hand the reins over to here in a few years. So it'll be fun to watch. And also, interesting number choice from Derrick Rose as well, number 25.
But is there a particular reason that's interesting?
No, I don't know. I think he's been number one. He was number one at Memphis, I believe, and number one with the Bulls. I'm pretty sure number one is open with the Knicks. I kind of thought he would just stick with it, but I don't know. Just a number.
Well, hey, Denzel Valentine, he's going to be, I don't know, I guess, post-first retirement Michael Jordan.
Yeah, number 45. it was also his number at Michigan State, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, those tweets kind of just blew my mind today. It's like, man, is it that slow?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of thinking into jersey numbers, but I don't think Denzel Valentine is worried about being the next Michael Jordan. So,
right. All right. Well, I guess, do you want to get into this draft a little bit? Who? What'd you like? What picks did you like?
Yeah. There was also another trade before that draft. Of course, Jeff Teague went to the Pacers. George Hill to the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz sent their 12th pick to the Hawks, which ended up being Taurean Prince out of Baylor. So that was a pretty big trade. I think Jeff Teague will really help out the Pacers, being able to put him next to with Paul George, a rising Miles Turner, Monte Ellis possibly coming off the bench, and Ty Lawson coming off the bench. And that good team is also on its way up in the Eastern Conference, I believe. So, good move for the Pacers.
Yeah, they
got Thaddeus Young as well, who is a spark plug off the bench.
Gotta love Thaddeus Young.
Yep. So, like you're saying to the draft here, of course, I like the top two picks. I think that they're by far the two best players in this draft. But I really like this draft. I think there's a couple guys in here that could be stars in the future. One of those guys is Chris Dunn, who was drafted to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I liked his game at Providence all year. I'm pretty sure I picked every game that we had Providence in. I'm pretty sure I picked him just because of Chris Dunn. I usually tend to do that in college games when they have NBA talent and the other team doesn't. So I'd always go Providence for Chris Dunn. I think he's a great big guard, can really attack. He can shoot. He's his shooting needs to improve, but he can shoot, especially when he gets hot. And so I really like that pick for the Timberwolves. They're kind of crowded now in the backcourt with Zach LaVine and Ricky Rubio. I think Rubio will be the odd man out, and the role with LaVine and Dunn in the backcourt, which is going to be a tall, long backcourt. So that's a bright future for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, definitely. Like you're saying, he definitely has the tools to be the best point guard in the draft. If he can round out that offensive game with a good jump shot, then yeah, everything should work out. But yeah, unfortunately, Ricky Rubio's probably got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely. They came really close to making the trade for Jimmy Butler. It was reported that the Timberwolves actually declined it because the Bulls wanted Zach LaVine, but the Timberwolves did not want to trade Zach LaVine. They wanted to trade Ricky Rubio instead. The Bulls didn't want that, so trade talks kind of broke down there.
Right. Obviously, the initial reaction to that was, why? not a lot of people seem to like that. What was your thought about that?
Well, you know how I feel about Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I think Zach LaVine's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. I think he has some Russell Westbrook qualities. He doesn't have that that fight factor, I don't know what to really call it, that Russell Westbrook has, or at least hasn't developed it yet, but he's still 20 years old, 21 years old. So he has time to do that. And I think it was a smart move by the Timberwolves, but I think if the Chicago Bulls would have been able to get their hands on him and been able to build around Zach LaVine, I think that would have been really big for the Chicago Bulls as well. And, that's pretty much all I had to think. I think if the Timberwolves would have got Jimmy Butler, I think that would have definitely put them in the playoffs. But I think Zach LaVine makes them a better team for the long run.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, you've got that connection with Tom Thibodeau, but and Jimmy Butler. But yeah, I saw some later after things kind of settled a little bit, people thought, you know the T-Wolves don't necessarily need to make that move right away. They can still afford to be patient. All their guys are still super super young, like you're saying. LaVine's only 20. They've got a lot of young guys in there in their early 20s that haven't quite reached their potential yet. I mean, T-Wolves aren't there yet, but they will be before we know it.
Yeah, that team could be the next Oklahoma City Thunder. They could have three guys, and they have a couple of guys that could fill into that third role. I think the top two, of course, are going to be Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and then I think either Chris Dunn or Zach LaVine could take hold of that other role and really take this team to heights that they've never really seen before. So this team's drafted really well and gotten some really good players from the guys that they've drafted, whether that's trading Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins and be able to build around some pieces. So bright future for the Timberwolves here.
Definitely. All right. Another question for you. What happened to Thon Maker? I thought he was going to fall out of the first round.
Well, apparently the Milwaukee Bucks really loved him. Took him number 10. I don't know about it. To be a huge steal.
How old is he really? Did anybody find out?
No. Says he's 19. People believe he's 21 to 23.
Yeah, but he couldn't be as old as us.
Yeah, so who really knows? But the Bucks really liked him and they took him. I think that this could be a huge pick for the Bucks, or it can be a huge bust for the Bucks. I think this was the biggest risk pick in the draft, especially at the number that they took him. But if you've seen his highlight tape, he's really good, especially for his size. But that's a highlight tape, and the NBA is a different game. So we'll have to see how he adjusts. I don't expect him to play too much right away, though.
Yeah, not at all. If with his size, though, yeah. I mean, and especially if he does happen to be 19, then if that's the case, then yeah, then he could still put on even more strength and mass. But yeah, I mean, this 10 seems just a little high to me. I know, obviously, you gotta go boom or bust. The later you get into the NBA draft, it's just, you know, you gotta take those chances. But yeah, I just felt like 10 would be a little high, especially if I'm unsure of how old he really is.
Yeah, definitely. But can't blame him. If you fall in love with the guy, you can't, your gut feeling is he's going to be good, I think you got to go with that. I don't think you can second guess yourself and make it too hard of a pick. If they really think Thon Maker's that guy, they have to make that pick.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I guess you want to talk about Oklahoma City's trade?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I think that the Bucks actually missed they should have took Sabonis, who actually went with the pick after him, to the Orlando Magic, but of course was
trading
to the Oklahoma City
yeah.
Thunder for Serge Ibaka. And of course, the Thunder also received Ersan Ilyasova and Drew Oladipo. I think this is a huge trade for both teams. I think Serge Ibaka is going to give the Magic someone down low to protect the rim. They don't really have that at all. They'll have that piece now. Be interested to see what he does on the offensive end without having to share the ball with Durant and Westbrook. His numbers have been on the decline. The Thunder were worried about some getting frustrated with his role and were afraid he was going to leave after next year. So they made a deal. Sam Presti, of course, is known to do that. He's hit a couple big trades, and he's also missed a couple. So I think that this one will be a make, and I think it's going to be a make for both teams. I think that the Thunder get a shooting guard that can finally replace James Harden. He isn't James Harden, don't get me wrong, but I think they found a two-way player at the two-guard position, which they really struggled. They've only had guys that are one-way players, but I think that Oladipo is a two-way player, can really attack the basket, needs to improve his shooting, but really athletic and plays really aggressive and good defense. So having Westbrook and Oladipo back there tormenting guards in the backcourt is going to be it's going to be really beneficial to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, like you said, Presti's definitely not afraid to make that move, even if it seems a little early. But yeah, I mean he's got to worry about his championship window, which hopefully has one more year. Because if Kevin Durant is gone, he's gotta think quick and have a backup plan. But no, like you're saying, Oladipo, obviously brings another dimension to shoot it to that two guard position for him. If he's playing defense, you don't necessarily have to have Russell Westbrook going all out on defense. Maybe he can save himself a little bit on offense, or you can switch him off of whoever he's guarding a little bit to give him a little bit of rest. But I think it definitely makes them better. They do kind of lose a little bit of that rim protector with Ibaka, but it's definitely worth a trade-off, it would seem.
Yeah, they did kind of lose some rim protection, but I think that the emergence of Steven Adams really helped make this trade possible. Of course, really made a name for himself in these playoffs and is a very good rim protector. He doesn't block a lot of shots like Ibaka did, but he can test and alter shots, which is really more beneficial than blocking shots out of bounds and giving the team the ball and a chance to score still. So let's see how that goes. And I also think Sabonis, if he ends up turning out, if you can play Kanter, Sabonis, and Adams, other teams' front lines are gonna cringe when they have to play the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant's definitely shown that he can step into that four and play it when the game's on the line. He needs to, so it's not so much of an issue. I think that they might have lost a little flexibility, but I think they can cover for it.
Yeah, and now the only question is Kevin Durant going to come back?
Right.
I think
which
even
I guess
if he didn't,
we could talk about that on all the meetings he's taken.
Yeah, I figure we could talk about that a little bit next week. We kind of ran out of time. We'll have a couple of the meetings
right
out of the way and things like that. So should be a lot to talk about there because free agency starts on Thursday at midnight.
Yep, and he's already got a full schedule.
No, Friday at midnight. Sorry, not Thursday. I think even if he didn't return, I think this Thunder team could still be a playoff team. Can't overlook Ilyasova. Still some question if he'll be with the team. But coming off the bench, that really gives them some three-point shooting and can stretch the floor with him. He's 6'11", 6'10", 6'11", and can shoot three balls, which is one of the main struggles for the Thunder is shooting that three.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that they were kind of missing, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're going to have to add another shooter. I think Waiters is gone, and I think that they're going to look to add a shooter at the three or the two spot and really help that team take off.
Yeah. All right. Any other draft thoughts you got before we start to wrap this up?
Nope. I think that's all I had. There were a couple of other questionable picks, but I think that's all. That's all that I had, really.
Yeah. No. I kind of like what the Suns were able to do, getting both Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender. I thought that was pretty neat, but other than that, I think I'm good.
Yeah, that was I like both those players, the Suns and the Kings were awful on draft night. So yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess do we do these picks? I guess.
Yeah. Let's do these picks real fast.
All right, well, we got the Euros that are still going on because there's a lot more countries in Europe than the Americas, I guess, or at least soccer teams. All right, first up, Portland. I'm sorry, Poland and Portugal. those two words being so close together isn't exactly good. But, yeah, obviously, yeah, I got Cristiano Ronaldo still fighting to go to the quarters. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Portugal here. I think that Ronaldo's going to keep going, at least for now.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. Got to think Portugal moves on. All right. Next up, we got Wales and Belgium.
All right. Wales led by Gareth Bale and Belgium led by Romelu Lukaku. I wanted to go Belgium until I watched some Euros earlier and heard that Wales beat them the last two times, so I'm going to go Wales.
All right, well, I am going to go with Belgium. I think that they're going to get it right this time.
All right.
Okay, and next we got Germany and Italy. I think I'm going to go Germany.
All right, I'm going to go Italy here. I think Italy is having a great run, and I think Pele is going to be the difference maker in the game.
All right, awesome. And then next we got France and the, of course, Cinderella story, Iceland.
All right, I think that the Cinderella story comes to an end. I'm going France here.
You know what? I was going to go France, but I'm switching. I'm going Iceland. They're going to keep it going.
All right. I'd like to see that, but I just think that sooner or later, one of these one of these bigger countries are going to finally get them.
Oh, all right. Okay, and then last but not least, we got who we think is going to finish off this College World Series. I'm going to go Arizona. Seems kind of cheap after them already playing a game, but I think Arizona's going to win.
Yeah, it does. I was going to go Arizona beforehand. I'm going Arizona as well.
All right, you got a hot tweet?
I do, but I'd rather share my hot take.
All right, go ahead.
All right, my hot take is Jordano Ventura is going to throw a shutout tomorrow night in his first game back from his suspension.
All right, sounds good. I'd like that. Well, I would rather read my hot tweet, so I'm going to read that. This is from at PChops, and he said, KD just taking a meeting with the Warriors so he can ask Steph in person how he got locked down by Kevin Love.
All right. Let's hope that that's the only reason why he wants a meeting. Hope you're right.
Right, yes. I hope so. man. All right, well, thank God we didn't have to talk about Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really want to, so I'm glad. Push that
yeah.
off for at least a week.
Until, the next chapter in the saga, I guess.
Yeah.